Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Dalad. We will begin on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis on the bottom line. The Mishnah taught us the machlokes of Rameya and the Chachamim on how to have a bezdin with zebar layechad. Each one chooses a dayan, and then we had a machlokes Rameya and the Chachamim how and when one party could disqualify the other party's dying. Says the Makasa Rav and Amar Rabbi Yochanan, when they came to explain our Mishnah and discuss the way to disqualify each other's dying. And even though in the previous year we had discussed that there might be a difference, what type of a bezdin was it? Was it a dying mumchim? Was it expert dayanim? Or was it a cost the surah? The way the Rishonim explained this explanation of the Gemara, that isn't the focus at this point. And the Gemara says, the Reisha speaking about a case, Be'edim Psulim, where they found that the Edim, that one of the parties is saying is disqualified, is indeed disqualified. But when he said that the Dayanim are disqualified, that actually was inaccurate. And the machlokes of Rameya and Rabbanan is as follows. Rameya holds, Migi the Pasli Edom, because this Baldin was successful in disqualifying the Edom, Pasli Nai Dayanim, he also could disqualify the Dayanim. And the Chachamim hold that one has nothing to do with the other. And the fact that he was able to disqualify the Edom has no bearing on the Dayanim. And the Ad Ramah explains that the fact that the Edom are apostle, so we see that this person is trying to do something wrong. And therefore, even though I don't have concrete proof that there's something wrong with the Dayanim, there's something to be concerned about the validity of the Dayanim. Another way of learning, says the Ad Ramah, is saying that yes, I accepted these dayanim originally, but the original agreement was now becoming null and void because the Edom were found to be disqualified. Since the Edom were found to be disqualified, and therefore the original agreement is on the Edom is null and void, that makes everything null and void, and we have to start from all over again. And the Sefer is speaking about a case where the Dayanim that were chosen were discovered to be disqualified, the Edom Aksherim, and the Migah, the Pasli Dayanim, since the Dayanim are disqualified, Pasli Nami Edom, the Edom are also going to become disqualified. Maskla Rava, to which Rava asks, Bishlama, Migah, the Pasli Edom, as we just explained, we could understand well why if the Edom become disqualified, it affects the kashrus of the Dayanim, the two explanations we gave of the Yad Ramah. It's understandable how we could apply a concept, Amiga de Pasli Edim, Pasli Nami Dayanim. But, it isn't so significant what he's doing when he's disqualifying the Dayanim, because Ika Beidin Achrina, there's always another Bezdin that you could go to, and if this Bezdin has become disqualified, we'll find another Bezdin. Ella, in the way we're explaining the Sefer, the way Rabin is explaining the Sefer, that he's saying there's a concept, that Migi Pasli Dayanim Pasli Nami Edim, that if the Edim, the Dayanim become disqualified, that affects the Edim as well. Says the Gemara, we can't just manufacture Edim. We can't just say, well, we won't use these Edim, we'll go to different Edim. For Edim Suleka, there are no other Edim. So if there are no other Edim, how can we just accept this concept and disqualify the Edim? Answers the Gemara, indeed. It's only speaking in a situation where there is another pair of Edom that could be called upon. But if, and that's why the Migui that the Gemara says, the Yad Raman explaining the Gemara, is going to be applicable. But in a case where there are no other Edom, everybody will agree, you can't just, because you disqualified the Dayanim, the Edom get disqualified as well. Says the Gemara, halakha katacheres. So what we're saying now is, if there is no other pair of Edom, my, everybody will agree, even Ramei will agree that you can't disqualify the Edom with the mediator. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that's what Hainad Rav Dimi. Isn't that what Rav Dimi said? That he said, where that Rav Dimi explained that the Machlokes Ramei and the Chachamim is in a situation where there are two pairs of Edom. And now we're also learning that there are two pairs of Edom. So what is the difference, asked the Gemara, between the explanation of Rav Dimi and the explanation of Ravin? Answers the Gemara, Ikam Nai, there is a Nafgamina. Ravin, the Masa of Ravin's opinion is Amina Migui, that the concept of Migui, this way Rashi learns the Gemara, the concept of Migui is a legitimate concept. The question is, where do we apply the concept and where don't we apply the concept? Whereas Rav Dimi, Savalay Amina Migui. Migui is not a concept that has any place in this halacha. It's a whole different explanation. It was connected to the concept of Tzrich Levaru. If you say you have two pairs, do you have to bring both pairs or not? And the Aruch Haner, the Yad Ramah and the Aruch Haner both point out that the Migui of our Gemara is not the same as Migui in our Shas. And Rashi explained what the Gemara means, that do we say Migui, don't we say Migui? That's not the way to understand the Gemara. Then the way to understand the Gemara is not that they're arguing over is Migui a legitimate concept in Halacha. Of course Migui is a legitimate concept in Halacha. But the Migui that's being applied in this Gemara is a very weak Migui. Because the Edom Apostle, I disqualified the Dayanim, vice versa. And the Machlokes says that even if one does subscribe to the concept of Migui, can we rely on a weak Migui like we learned here? So when we learned in the previous year, when Rav Shlokesh was analyzing Ramea's opinion, Rav Shlokesh used the words, Peh Kadosh, you have a holy mouth. How do you say what you're saying, which I completely disagree with? Says the Gemara Gufa, Amar Shlokesh. Shlokesh said to what Ramea said, Peh Kadosh, a holy mouth, Yom Medavazeh should say your opinion. Tani, says the Gemara, Eidai, that we have to say that he's disqualifying one aid. Eina, says the Gemara, I don't understand this entire dialogue. How could we say that Rish Lakish spoke this way? Vama Ula, Hairayas Rish Lakish Bebes Medrash, somebody sees Rish Lakish Bebes Medrash, Kilo Oika Hara Betoichnan. We view Rish Lakish, who was such an incredible Talmud Chacham, like a person who could pick up a mountain and grind it. And he was very sharp. And here he's speaking in such a nice way and complimenting. So I saw that the Mefarshim asks, the Pnei Maven asks, that Rish Lakish is an Amora, Rameir is a Tana. And even as we are saying, Rish Lakish was indeed very sharp, but he's speaking about a Tana. And of course, when you're speaking about a Tana, you have to speak with the greatest Derech Eretz. So the Pnei Maven says that of course Rish Lakish as an Amora showed much respect to Rameir the Tama. But still, it was uncharacteristic, says the Pnei Maven, explaining the Gemara's question, that Rish Lakish would speak in such a calm way, Peh Kadosh. Why did he use these words? Amar Vina, the like Kolorei Rameibus Medrash, says the Gemara, well, I don't understand why you're surprised. How like Kolorei Rameibus Medrash, whoever saw Ramein the Beis Medrash, Kilu Rameir was an Oika Harem V'tachnan. And therefore, since Rameir was such a great Talmud Chacham, Rav Shlokesh recognized it and spoke in that fashion. Says the Gemara, Hachkamer. The question is not, the comment and the question was not why the Rav Shlokesh speak about Ramei this way, but rather the way to understand the Gemara, that even though we had Talmid Chachamim, who by nature are very sharp, still, that didn't take away the great love and respect they spoke about each other. And the Gemara gives us another such example. Rebbe was saying a shir. He said in the shir, that on Shabbos, one is not allowed to put away something which is cold. Even though we know there's an issa hatmana, we're not allowed to put something away on Shabbos that even is davish enemoisevel. On Erev Shabbos, we could have something completely covered with davish enemoisevel, with something that doesn't add heat. But with davar hamoisevel, something that adds heat, we can't even do on Erev Shabbos. On a Shabbos, we can't do atman in any fashion, whether it's mice of hevel, whether it's a mice of hevel. And the Zalocha Rebbe said that a Shabbos we're not allowed to put away anything that's cold. And there's a machlokes rishonim, what is the concern? Some say the concern is that if we're going to put something cold in something cold, we may end up putting it in something that's hot. And even though having it covered by something cold should technically be not usur, but since you may come to put it in something hot, that's why it's usur. And the other way to learn, the Yad Ramaz way to learn, is the focus is not in what we're doing that mana. The focus is what we are doing hat mana. And we're not allowed to put away a cold item because we may come to put away a hot item. Amalafanov, that was the halacha Rebbe said. Amalafanov, Rav Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi, Abba, Rav Shmuel bar Yossi said, my father hit the hatman with tzaynin. He said we may do hatmana with tzaynin. Amalai, so Rebbe said to Rabbi Shmuel, I retract from what I said. Kvar harizokin, if your father Rabbi Yossi said that it's mutter, then I'm not disagreeing. Amar Papa bar Eka mechavan zaza. Look at the tremendous respect they show to each other. Dila Rabbi Yossi kayim. If Rabbi Yossi was still alive, he would sit with respect in front of Rebbe, because what's the proof? The Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosef Imal Mokum Avosif Hava. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosef was a successor of his father, and he kafuf v'yosher l'fnei Rebbe. And still, so we see the respect that they had for Rebbe. As machlokes rishonim, why they showed such respect to Rebbe. Rashi seems to learn that the reason they showed such respect to Rebbe was because Rebbe was the Nasi. Tosfos seems to learn that it's not because Rebbe was the Nasi, it's because even though Rebbe was originally Rabbi Yossi's Talmud, he became even a bigger Talmud Chacham. Still, even though Rebbe is the Nasi, Rebbe is this great Talmud Chacham, still, Rebbe's comment, as soon as he heard what Rabbi Yossi said, he backed off and said, Kvar harizokin. Amar Rav Ishia, Maidik Siv, the Pasuk says in Navi Zechariah, Vekech Eshnei Naklis. In this parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Zechariah what happened with Klal Yisrael from Malchus, based off it, from when David and Melch became king, until they went into Golzit Gio. And the Pasuk, it says that Klal Yisrael had two kings, Yeravam ben Nevat and Rechavam ben Shloimah. Yeravam was a very calm person. He was not a very strong person. Rechavam was very tough. Others explain it's talking here about the Malchus Beis Chashmonai. And the Pasuk says, Vekach li shnei maklis. I took two sticks. Lech across Noyam, lech across Chavolim. One stick was called soft, pleasant, and the other one was used a stick to hit. And it says, Rabbi Yishia, Noyam el Talmid Chacham v'Etz Yisrael. This refers to Talmid Chacham v'Etz Yisrael. Shemanim zel ze ba'alocha, that they're very pleasant. And the other stick represents Chavolim. El Talmid Chachamim shebebavol, shemechavim zel ze ba'alocha, they were very tough. And the Ben Yoyada explains this Gemara, that a stick has, what is the lesson of this Gemara? He says, when you speak about when you speak about a stick could serve one of two functions. It could be used to hit, and it could be used that a person who needs support walks with a cane. A person, a Talmud Chacham, has to know how to how to use the stick in what situation, in what way. The Shem Shmuel explains that we know the Pasuk says, Sur Meira Vasei Toiv. So explains the Shem Shmuel that the category of Avodas Hashem in Bavel was the category of Sur Meira. And since it was a category of Sur Meira, they had to use sticks that, so to speak, are used to hit. The category of Avodas Hashem in Eretz Yisrael was a category of Asei Toiv. And therefore, the stick was used in a pleasant manner. The pasuk continues, V'yomer Elishnei b'nei ha'yitzer ha'imdim al adon kol aretz. And the pasuk comes to say that further, U'shnei zaisim alea. Yitzer, Omer of Yitzchak, what does Yitzchak represent? El tamidim cham shebet Yisrael. This refers to the Talmidei Chachamim at Yisrael. Shenochen zeh lazeh ba'alochem. When they learn in a pleasant manner. Shem Zayis, which is called Yitzur, which is smooth. Ushnei Zesim Aleo. Eil Talmidei Chachamim shebavel. That refers to the Talmidei Chachamim bavel. Shemrurim zeh lazeh ba'alochem. They're bitter, like the olive is bitter. Pos continues. Vesa ena ve'era. Shtayim yoytzus. Shtay noshim yoytzus v'ruach. And they have wings like a bird, which is called a chasida. And they were carrying a measuring cup. And I say to the malach who was speaking to me, to where are they carrying this measuring cup? They're taking it to build a home in Eretz Shina. What does this mean? Because as I saw the Mefarshim explain, the chsida is known to be a non-kosher bird. The Rashi says in Chumash, the lama nikrishma chsida shaisa chesel chavriseha, it only is nice to its own friends, it's not nice to everyone else. Others say the chsida is a bird that tramples. And what does that represent? It represents chanufa. And there's two elements in chanufa. One is that person, chanufa means that somebody tries to flatter somebody else with something that the person doesn't have. And that's called sheker. The other element of chanufa is that the person is a fake. He's fooling himself. He's trying to show everybody as if he's a tzaddik when he's really a rasha. The gasas ruach, and there's gaiva. And what happened was, Shiod Lubavel, these two terrible midas of Chanufa and Gaiva combined and came to Bavel. I saw that the Malbim says that the Chanufa and Gaiva got together, and the child of the Chanufa and Gaiva is called politics. V'gasas ruach Bavel nachas, asked the Gemara, is Gaiva and Bavel? 10 measures of Gaiva came to the world. Tisha not la'elam. 9 were taken by Elam, says the Gemara. The Achas and the other measure was taken by Kalam Kula. So why was saying that Gaiva came to Bavel? Answers the Gemara in the Bavel Nachas. The Gaiva began in Bavel. V'shtarvehu the shtarve of la'elam. But from Bavel it moved on to Elam. Dekanami, and says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, the pasuk that speaks about these two midas, chanuf and gaiva, says livnos lebayis beres shinar, and the pasuk says the word law to teach us that only one of them stayed in shinar, but the other one, even though we're talking about two midas, gaiva and chanufa, only one remained in bavel and one moved on. Shma minah that chanufa remained in bavel, but gaiva went on to elam. Ask the gemara. And the proof, the way you see a person is about gaiva if he doesn't have a lot of money. And says the Gemara, Anias Lubavel Nachas, and the people in Bavel were particularly poor. Says the Gemara, my Anias, Anias the Torah. When we speak about Anias, it isn't material. It's Anias the Torah. Diksev, Achos Lo Nektan of Ishdaim Ein Lo. Am Rabbi Yochanan Elam Shesach Salimoid. They're able to learn, there were people who learned Torah, but didn't have the ability to teach Torah further. My Bavel. So ask the Gemara, what is the definition? What is the definition of Bavel? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Belulah b'Mikra, Belulah b'Mishnah, Belulah b'Talmud. So the Mefarshim ask, we know why Bavel is called Bavel. We remember the story in Parshas Noach, where the Torah says, where all the nations of the world came to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu got them all confused with the many languages. So, as the Pasuk says, Al-Kain Karashma Bavo, Kisham Bal Hashem, Svas Kala Aretz, U'Misham Mifitzim Hashem Al-Kal Pnei Aretz. So what's the question, what is Bavel? So the Sefer Gur Aryeh answers that happened in a specific location. The Gemara is here asking, why is an entire Bavel called Bavel? The Sefer Meir Ar says that the Gemara's question is, why is Talmud Bavli called Talmud Bavli? And for that, the Gemara answers, because it's Belula, B'mikra, Belula, B'mishnah, Belula, B'talmud. It has all of these different Torah learning, Torah portions in it. The Pasuk says, B'machashchim ha'shivani b'msei oylem, Amr b'yimriya zah Talmud shabavel. That refers to the Talmud of Bavel. So our Gemara tells us that in Talmud Bavli, we have Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. The Mishnah Perkei Avos teaches us that we should teach a child from the age of 5 until 10, Mikra, Tanakh. From 10 until 15, we should teach him Mishnah. And then, from 15 and on, they should learn Gemara. However, the Rebbeinu Tam says that what our Gemara is coming to teach us is, why don't we find that we teach children in that fashion? Says the Rebbeinu Tam, because since our Gemara is teaching us that Talmud Bavli has all of this in it, Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara, so that's why it makes sense to just learn Talmud Bavli. The Rambam disagrees with Rebbeinu Tam. And Rambam says that following what we learned in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, the way a person should spend his days, he should spend 3 days learning, working, 3 days, three hours working, 3 hours learning Mishnah, 3 hours learning Mishnah, Mikra, 3 hours learning Mishnah, 3 hours learning Gemara. The Rebbeinu Tam obviously is disagreeing. The Drisha says that as much as whatever approach we take, the approach of Rebbeinu Tam or the approach of the Rambam, there's another halacha. As the Gemara Masechta Nida, Daf Ayin Gimel Amin Aleph teaches us, Tanad Be'Eliyahu, Kol Hashanu Halachos B'Kol Yom Miftach Lo Shibena Olam Haba. There's a point to spend every day time learning practical halacha. I saw that the first Novominsk Rebbe says, the Pasuk says, B'Mechashachim HaShivani, Say Olam Zed Tama Bavli. He says, in the times of Mechashivani, the time of Mechashchim, in a time that we are suffering the bitter darkness of Golus, what is the way that Hashivani, everybody wants to have Yishuv Adas? Says the Gemara, but Mechashchim Hashivani, where we're suffering such terrible time, the way we could have Yishuv Adas is by learning Talmud Bavli. The Pasuk says, V'hoya kasher yoram Moshe's yodai. So I saw Rav Nachum Zemba explains, what is the definition of Yad Moshe? What is the Yad Moshe? What are the Yadayim of Moshe? He says the Yadayim of Moshe Rabbeinu are Gemara. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah, and the Yadayim Moshe are the Talmud Bavli, which explains the Gemara. V'hoya, the Pasuk says, V'hoya kasher yoram Moshe yodai, and a time when we are connected to the Gemara, to the day Moshe, then Gav Yisrael, then Klai Yisrael has the ability to prevail over all of its enemies. And that's Pshat, he said in this Pasuk. B'machashchem. We live in a time where Jews are being attacked. What is the way that we could survive? There's only one way to survive. Zutama Bavli. By sitting and learning, that's the power to learn. So Agumar said that one of the things that make Elam not so great is Zach Salomite. It was a place where Torah was learned. but it isn't the place where Torah is taught. The Sefer Chashukei Chemed has a very interesting discussion. It says somebody lost a parent, and the parent, this person or his parent, had written a sefer that was never printed, and there's some money available to use for a tzedakah purpose. The question is, what is better? Is it better to use the money to print the sefer, even though it's not a sefer that's really going to be widely studied? Or is it better to buy sfarim that are needed in a shul that everybody will have benefit from? He says, certainly, the children of the person who had the sefer written, that he didn't have the opportunity to print the sefer, have a mitzvah to print that sefer. And in general, he says that the pasuk says, the Gemara says, Masechta Yevamos, on the Daf Tzadik Vav Amud Beis, a gura elecha olamim, a person can live in both worlds. And the Gemara asks, v'chi efshel el adam loga b'shtei olamim, can a person dwell in both worlds, whether in this world or next world? It says, Ela amad David l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono shel olam, yiratzon sheyom David shmi m'pi b'olam hazeh. I hope that they're going to say my Torah in this world. Damar Rav Yochanan Shimon Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Kol Talmid Chacham sheyom David shmi b'olam hazeh. The people say over the Torah from a person when he's not here, Svasov Daivavos recover. And the Sefer Chassidim in Simen Tuf Kuf Lamed says, Kol Mishigila HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dover. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped you achieve a Chiddush in Torah, then a Kaisvah and you don't commit it to writing, the Yachalichta, which you could have, Harehu Goizel Mishigila Lois. If you're stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you this Chiddush, why are you not revealing it? Kiloy Gilala, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only revealed it to you, El Lichtav. The Ksiv, Sayyid Hashem Li Reyav, Ubrisab Le Diyam. The Ksiv, Yafutza Mayanesa Chutza. So there is a very big purpose to print the Svarim. And Rav Shlomo Kluger writes that the Gula Shlema is only going to be able to happen when all the Svarim that are able to be printed will be printed. But he says that speaks to the family, that speaks to the person who is mechadish the Torah. If somebody is mechadish chedushe Torah, he has an obligation, his family have an obligation to try to promote and publish and spread that Torah. But when we're speaking about a community that needs svarim, an argument could be made that the community who needs the svarim have a greater need to have those svarim than anyone else. And therefore, maybe as far as the community is concerned, they would be doing a bigger favor to the neshama to buy svarim and his zecher and use it for learning. Says the Gemara Amalai, if one party says to the other party, even though a father is obviously disqualified to be a dayan, he says, Neman Alay Abba, I trust my father, Neman Alay Avicha, your father, Neman Alay Shlesh Rai Bakar, we could use these individuals who are unlearned individuals to be the Dayanim, and now they want to back off. Ramei Aymer, Yachal Achzabai, they could back off. V'chamam and Yachal Achzabai, they can't back out. The Rishonim discuss, what is the halacha, that you have to have a kinyan? In other words, if they agreed to use dayanim who are not really qualified to be dayanim, do we need a kinyan or not? And the Rishonim seem to say that the Nemukhi Yosef says the kinyan is not required. The Miri says you maybe don't necessarily have to have a kinyan, but you certainly have to have that this was agreed upon in front of three people. I also saw that there are achroinim that suggest that let's say the two parties agreed to use individuals who are not really kosher to be dayanim, but they both agree to that. But Edim don't want to come, the Edim in this case, don't want to come say testimony in front of dayanim who are disqualified to be dayanim. There are achroinim that suggest that the Edim may make such a claim. Hayah chayev l'chaver shvua. So it says the Mishnah, one party was chayev to the other party is shvua. Vamaloi, and he says to him, I'm going to exempt you from having to make a shvua, because as the Gemara Masechta Shvuos, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis teaches us, making a shvua, the one is obligated to make a shvua midaraisa, is extremely serious. You have to use one of the names of Hashem by making the shvua. A sefer Torah has to be held. And therefore he says, I'll exempt you from making a shvua, and darli, b'chai roshcha, making a nether will be sufficient. And now he wants to change his mind. Remei am yachal achzbay, he could back out. And recham amrim and yachal achzbay, once you agreed, you can't back out. Says the Gemara. Amar avdimi b'rei, Rav Nachman b'rei, Rav Yosef. Kegoin, when the Mishnah says that he accept his father, it's speaking about a case that he accept him to be one, that he's going to be one of three dayonim. And the way the Rishonim explain this Gemara, if somebody accepts the father to be a dayan, and not just only to be a dayan, but to be a dayan all by himself, there are two issues. Number one, he's a father. Number two, we're supposed to have, as we learned extensively at the beginning of the Masechta, three dayanim. So there are two issues. That's when, even in such a case, suggests Rav Dimi, Ramei will agree you could back out. But if he accepted the father to be a dayan as one of three, so there's only one issue, then you can't back out, according to Ramei. Says the Gemara further. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmu, Machloikis, the Machloikis Ramei and Chachamim, if you could back out, is if the Taveya told the Nitva that if we'll choose these dayanim, who are normally not the right dayanim, and if I lose machalach, the money that I'm moichel, I say you owe me money, and I'm moichel to money. Aval, if the person who is being called to din Torah says that if I lose etalach, I will give you what you're asking, everybody will agree yachalach sabah. Because being moichel is not as significant of a halachic act as giving money that you really don't own. And Rabbi Yochanan says that the same machlokes that we have by machloch, we have by etnloch also machlokes. So the question is, what did Rabbi Yochanan mean to say by etnloch machlokes? What did he mean to say with those statements? Does he mean to say that by etnloch, that's where we have the machlokes from Me'en the Chachamim? But in the case of machloch, everybody will agree that in Yochel Achzbay, even Ramei will agree you can't back out. Or Dilma, or maybe what Rabbi Yochanan means to say, that the machloikis of Ramei and the Chachamim is both by Bein Bezu by Etanloch and Bein Bezu by Machloch. In both cases, they disagree. Toshma, Dama Rava Machloikis by Etanloch. In the case of Etanloch is where we have a machloikis. Aval, in the case of Machloch, everybody will agree Ein Yochel Achzbay, you can't back out. Yam b'shlam etenloch machloikus. If we'll say the way to understand Rabbi Yochanan is that by etenloch is where we have the machloikus. Avo b'machol loch, in a case where he said machloch, d'vri hakol ein yochel achzbay, then Rava's position is consistent with Rabbi Yochanan's position. Eli amrit, if we're going to explain that Rabbi Yochanan is saying his shita, the Bein Bezu, whether it's Etnloch or whether it's Machloch, it's Machloikis. So Rava Dama Kaman, he's not consistent with Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, and he's not consistent with Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara, that isn't the question. Rava, the Dam the Nafshikama. Rava is entitled to his own opinion, and it doesn't have to be consistent neither with Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul nor with Rabbi Yochanan. Eisvei asked the Gemara what Rava just said. The Mishnah's Eisvei Rav Tachlif LeRava. We learned in our Mishnah, if somebody owes somebody else a shvua, Vamalai, and the other party said, instead of making a shvua, I will be satisfied if durli, if you just make a nether, durli b'chai roishcha, Ramei yachal achzbay, Ramei says, you could back out, if you said that, you can't back out. My laugh, so says the Gemara, the typical case when the Torah says to make a shvua, which, to use the best example, is a moedim amiktsis. What happens in that case? The person, you say I owe you $100, I say I owe you $50, I am a moedim amiktsis, and the halacha says that I make a shvua, and I won't have to pay you more than $50. So the case of shvua is always a case of machaloch. So isn't that clearly indication that the machlokes of Rav Meir and the Chachamim is strictly in a situation of machloch? Loi. Says Mar, that isn't the proof. Because there are cases in halacha where a person who makes the shvua, the shbayin, they make the shvua and they collect. What is the case? One example is that if somebody is a worker and he comes to collect his salary, and the employer says, I already paid you. The halacha is, we learned that in Masechta Bava Metzia, that the person who is owed the money swears that it was not paid, and he collects. So that's a case of atanlach. And that's why the Mishnah is not a proof if the machloikus or amei chachamim is only by machalach or by atanlach. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that the Mishnah that's speaking about a shvua is talking about a case of nishboin v'noitlin, v'tana le'resha? The Tana already spoke about the case of atanlach in the resha. Why do we have to say the same machlokes twice? Answers the Gemara, there is a reason. Tana Tal B'das Acherim. First, we spoke about a case where he agreed where other people will say he's chayiv, the case of the Dayanim. The Tana, and then the Mishnah spoke about a case, Tala B'das Atzmai, where he said, if you make a nether, I'll be satisfied. And the Gemara explains why we need to have both examples. The Tricha, the Tana Talab Dasa Cherim, in the case where he said, I'll accept a Dayan, who normally is not qualified to be a Dayan, but Hakam Ramei, the Matzi Hadabei. There Ramei says, you could back out of your agreement. Mishum Delay Gama Makni, he's not 100% ready to do that. Domar, Miyem Dem Zakabi, who says that maybe these Dayanim are going to exonerate me. Avol Toil B'das Atzmai, where he says, if you make a nether, I'll be satisfied. Eimei Moideleil Rabbanan, that you knew what you're getting into and you can't back out. V'yashrin b'ha kamer Rabbanan, in the case of Shvua, that's where the Rabbanan say you can't back out. Av Bahi, in the case of the Dayanim, Eimei Moideleil Rabbanan L'Rameya, that he wasn't ready to accept the psak of the Dayanim, and he could think it over and change his mind. Tzricha. Says the Gemara, the Amar Rish Lakish, the machloikis that we have of Ramei the Chachamim is only lifnei Gemar Din, if you could change your mind. Avel ach Gemar Din, after the Gemar Din was issued, the divrei akol en yochel achzboi, you can't back out. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, lachadim machloikis, the machloikis is lach Gemar Din, and the Gemara is going to ask on that in a second, what does that mean? The Rishonim say, when in the case of the Shvua, what's considered Gemar Din? Some say is once the person who was told a nether would be sufficient makes the nether, you can't change your mind. The Rif says you don't even need that much. If the person was supposed to make a Shvua and I offered him make the nether and I'll be satisfied, and he says, okay, I'll make the nether, that's already considered Gemar Din. So ask the Gemara, what did Rabbi Yochanan mean with a statement? Iboilhu, lachigmadin machloikus. The Rabbi Yochanan mean to say, the machloikus der mei chacham is lachigmadin. Ava lifne gmadin. Everybody will agree, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that yochel achzaboy, everybody will agree you can back out. Adilma, does he mean to say, bein bezu, whether it's before the gmadin or whether it's after the gmadin, Ramei says you could back out, and the chacham say you can't. Says the Gemara, Toshma, Domarova, Kibalov, if somebody accepted somebody to be a dayan who's a kariv, who's a relative of one of the bali din, or apostle, or accepted that we could have a dayan who's an individual who's not qualified to be a dayan, lifnei gmar din yochel achzaboy, lach gmar din eino yochel achzaboy. That's what Rava says. So now the Gemara makes its point. Yeah, b'shlam lach gmar din machloikis. If we're going to say that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the machloikis is strictly lach gmar din. Avlifnei Gemar Din, Devar Hakol, everybody, Rabbi Yochanan holds, Yochel Achzaboy, you can back out. Rava, Domek Rabbi Yochanan, Valibu de Rabbanan. Rava's opinion will be consistent with Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbanan, even the Rabbanan will agree that Lifnei Gemar Din, you can back out. And Lach Gemar Din, you can't back out. Eli Amrit, But if we're going to say that what Rabbi Yochanan holds is the Bein Bezu Machloikus, both before the Gemar Din and after the Gemar Din, we have the Machloikus Rameh and Rabbi Yochanan, Rava Kamar Kaman, Rava's position will not be consistent with anybody, because according to both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, according to the Chamim, before Gemar Din, you can't back out. El Lav Shmarino. From here we see that Rabbi Yochanan was speaking about La'ach Gemar Din. That's where we have the Machloikus of Rameya and the Chachamim. But before the Gemar Din, even the Chachamim will agree you could back out. And that's exactly what Rava will say, Shema Mino. Says the Gemara, Sholach Lei Rav Nachman by Rav, Rav Nachman by Yaakov. Yilam Deinu Rabbeinu. Lifnei Gemar Din Machloikus. Trying to understand the Machloikus of Rameya Chachamim. Ah, Din Machloikus. He wanted to know, at what point are Ramei and the Chacham disagreeing? And he also wanted to know, Halach Gedivrimi, who is the Halacha like? Sholach Lei, and Rav Nachman Ben Yaakov responded to Rav Nachman Ben Rav Chisda, the Machloikus is Lach Gmadim Machloikus, the Halacha is Gedivri Chachamim. So the question the Yad Raman and other Rishonim asked, why is there a question, who does the Halacha follow? We know that in all situations, Yochid v'Rabim, Halach k'Rabim, and the Chachamim are the Rabim versus Rameya. So Yad Rama says that even though the rule is Yochid v'Rabim, Halach k'Rabim, if the opinion of the Yochid makes more sense, then maybe we should follow the opinion of the Yochid. That's why he had to hear explicitly the Halach k'Chachamim. Rav Ashi Amar, Hachi Shalach Lei. Different question was the question that Rav Nachman Rav Chisda posed to Rav Nachman by Yaakov. Betelach Machloikus, where do we have the Machloikus? Betelach or Bachloch Machloikus? And again, he asked Halacha Kedivrei Mi, to which he responded, Sholach Lei, the Machloikus is even Betelach Machloikus, and the Halacha Kedivrei Chachamim. However, says the Gemara, this version of the questions and answers, this is the version that was taught in Surah. However, Amrav Chnina Bashalmir, Shochalem Bei Rav, Lishmul. They asked from the Shiva Rav to Shmul, Lamdeinu Rabbeinu, Lifnei Gmar Din V'Konem Yodei. That's before Gmar Din, but this agreement was consummated with a Kenyan. Mai, says the Gemara, if there was a Kenyan, then Sholachlei, once a Kenyan was made, Ein Lach Kenyan Klum, and everybody will agree that once a Kenyan was made, there's no backing out. Our Mishnah now begins to identify which individuals are disqualified from being Dayanim and from being Edim. Eilein Apsulim, the following individuals are Poslam Sacha B'Kuvya, people who are gamblers, Vamalva B'Ribis, people who lend and borrow with interest, Mafricha Yoinim, which is they do racing with birds, V'Soichra Shivayis, people who do business with Perishvias, where the Torah says regarding Perishvias, La ochla v'loy l'schayra. Rashi and Tosfos say that the people who are disqualified in our Mishnah are people who are posel midaraisa. Yad Rama says that the individuals who are identified in this Mishnah are posel to be dayanim or edim midrabbanan. Amar Rav Shimon b'tchila yekayin oisai. At the beginning, the people who violated shvius were called oisai shvius. And then, says the Gemara, Mishrabah Anosim, when the king demanded a lot of people pay tax, Chazal Kroysom, and that's why they collected those payers to pay the taxes, Chazal Kroysom, Shoichre Shvius. Amar Yehuda Emesai, that all these individuals, says Rabbi Yehuda, who are disqualified in a Mishnah, are only individuals, Bizman She'enlem Umnes Alehuda, this is the only thing that they do for a profession. Avol, Yeshlem Umnes Shloihu, if they have other professions, even though what they are doing is wrong, still the halacha will be the ksherim, the kosher to be dayanim and edim. Only if they do nothing else does that. Only if they do nothing else, that's when they are completely disqualified.